Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Let me repeat that in another version. "For I know the plan that I have for you, says the Lord, they are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." In another version, it says, "I know what I am doing for you. I have it all planned out, plans to take care of you, not abandon you, plans to give you the future you hope for." The divine plan of God for you, for this church, it's not a plan of disaster. It's not a plan of destruction. It's not a plan of sorrow. It's not a plan of struggle. God has a good plan for you and for me and for this church. God has a plan to prosper you, to protect you, to give you victory, to give you the future that you hope for. So the plan of God for you and for me are the same. The plan that God has for all of us is just the same plan. There's no different plan for Mike, different plan for Joe, different plan for Alan. There's no different plan for all of us. It's the same plan that he has for us. Though God has different purposes for all of us, he has a unique, distinctive, customized purpose for you. But the plan that he has for all of his children is that we progress from fruitfulness to fulfillment. God wants us to travel the journey of life progressively from fruitfulness to fulfillment. When this open secret became a revelation to David, he couldn't hold himself back. He couldn't contain himself. David just couldn't wrap his head around this truth. And in astonishment, in great excitement, he yelled out, "Oh Lord, my God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, my God, how majestic is your name in all the earth." Psalm 8, "You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foes and the avengers. When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moons, the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care about them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them have dominion over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. All the flocks, the herds, the animals of wild, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. O Lord, our God, how excellent, how majestic is your name in all the earth." Let us back up to in verse 6, he said, "You made them have dominion over the works of your hand." God has always been consistent in revealing this truth to man. This was not the first time that God was revealing it, that David got it. After the flood, after the flood that flushed away every living thing, and Noah with his family and all of the occupants of the ark survived it, God pronounced this blessing on Noah. He declared the same blessing over Noah. And he said in Genesis 9:11, "All the living creatures of the earth will be filled with fear and terror of you from now on, including all the creatures that fly in the sky, everything that crawls on the ground, and all the fish of the ocean. They've been assigned to live under your dominion." This is not anything new at all. This is the original intent of God, the original plan of God for you and me to live in dominion. In Genesis 1:28, God said, after he created man, meat, fresh, he blessed man. So he says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Have dominion. Have dominion. The Hebrew word translated dominion means master it, lord it over, establish lordship, rule and reign. God's plan for you, God's plan for every one of us is to master it, to establish lordship, to rule and reign. And you will tell me, how do I do that? Well, the word dominion is used in the context of kingdom. A king reigning and ruling in his own domain. It's in the context of a king ruling in his own domain. So where is your domain? Because Revelation 5:10 says that Christ has made us king and priests unto our God, and that we should rule here on earth. So where is your domain? Your customized purpose, your customized life purpose is your domain. If you are a preacher, if you are a doctor, if you are a nurse, teacher, evangelist, pastor, prophet, whatever you are, a pilot, engineer, a greeter, an usher, the calling of God for your life, the purpose of God for your life is your domain. And God wants you to have dominion. Dominion simply means be fulfilled. God wants you to be fulfilled in that field, that area that God has given you. God wants you and I to be fulfilled. So he gave us that journey from fruitfulness to fulfillment. That is the title of today's message. From fruitfulness to fulfillment. The first step, the first stage in this journey is be fruitful. I want us to pay attention to that blessing because it's a five-level hierarchy of blessing that God gave to man. Genesis 1:28, five-level hierarchy of blessings. It said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion. Look at that connector. And. It didn't just say, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue, and add to it, add to your fruitfulness, multiplication. Add to it, replenishment. Add to it, subdue. And add to it, dominion. It is a progressive, layered blessing from God. So the first step, be fruitful. What is that communicating to us? We have used that in the context of childbearing. True, but that is not limited to childbearing. That is simply saying, be productive, produce. In whatever he has called us, let us be productive. Be productive. And the second one says, multiply. Multiplication brings increase. So in our productivity, let us increase. Let us not just stay at one level of productivity. Let us produce with efficiency to the point that we're increasing our productivity. Increase. Jesus told a parable about a master that gave talent, or you can say money, to his servants. One, he gave five. Maybe that's 5,000. I don't know how much. Another, he gave two. Another, he gave one. The one that got five used the five and got more five. He increased it. The one that got two used the two and got more two. He increased it. But the guy that got one did not increase it. And what was the verdict? What was the judgment? Jesus said, even this one that he has lost it. He will lose it because whatever he has, since he did not increase it, will be taken from him and be given to the one that has. So stagnancy is not just stagnancy. Stagnancy is a decline. Fruitfulness or productivity without progression is reduction. Imagine someone who earns makes 1,000 every month. And that was the same amount he made last year every month. The same amount he made year before last every month. The same amount he made year before and before and before every month. That is already a decline. If he made 5,000 monthly 5 years ago and he's making that same amount this year every month, that is a decline. That is a reduction. Finance 101, time value of money. Because the value of 1,000 5 years ago is far higher than it is today. The value of 1,000 3 years ago is much more than it is today. So anyone that stays at a level, same level, is not increasing, is rather reducing. Increase your productivity. Increase. And God wants us to increase our productivity. And when a church builds a new campus, that is an indication of increase or a plan to increase. Increase your productivity. The third level, it's going to be very brief. This is the word. The third level in this hierarchy of blessing, God says, replenish, fill the earth. Just for a moment, think with me. Let us think together. When do you replenish your pantry? When do you replenish your stock? When you are out of something, right? When the things that you need in it is not available. So you, and what do? You go to your HEB, your Walmart or wherever, and get the things that you need for your pantry so you can function effectively in your house. So God is saying, fill this earth with all the things you need to function effectively on the earth. Replenish the earth. Fill the space. I have created some things already, and I have shared with you my nature of creativity. I have shared with you my nature of productivity. I have shared with you my nature of increase. But you now need to fill this earth through creativity, the things that you need. If you need a microphone, create it. You need a chair, create it. Do you need a submarine? Create it. You need drones, create. You need plane to fly you around. Create whatsoever you need on earth and make this earth effective, functional for you, man. Create it. And God is so big on this because he's ever creating this. God is so big on this. This is not an accident that God placed this in the middle of this letter. Because this one has huge impact and influence on the lower two and the higher two. This creativity can create values that can increase, accelerate your productivity so much and also increase your influence, your authority that will place you high at the place of fulfillment or dominion. God is so big on this. Where does creativity come from? Ideas. Anything you're creating comes first from someone's idea. The light, ideas. The chair, ideas. The microphone, ideas. The cell phone, ideas. This is the reason God is so huge on dreams. This is the reason God communicates a lot to so many people by dreams. God wants us to get ideas. Because what are dreams? They are simply ideas. Dreams is information that you are getting, instructions that you are getting that you can convert to creativity and innovation. Dreams are ideas. Think about Joseph. Immediately he started dreaming, he started having ideas. What rules this world? It's not power. It's not money. What rules this world? It's ideas. Idea rules the world. What makes money? It's not money. Idea makes money. What creates ideas? And God took time to invest big on this. It's one of the reasons he gave all of us gifts that are unique and different. So that through these giftings that you have, you can dream big and create. Through these gifts, if you're a prophet, through this gift, you can create. If you're a pastor, through this gift. If you're a doctor, through this gift. If you're a nurse, through this gift. If you're a carpenter, through this gift. You can dream big. The more value you create, the more valuable. Through your creativity, you are providing solutions. So the more solution you provide, the more successful. Through your creativity, you are solving problems. The more problem you solve, the more prominent. We're talking about from fruitfulness to fulfillment. From fruitfulness to fulfillment. Every one of us, the last of the nature of that nature to produce, that nature to increase, that nature to create. God has blessed all of us. It's his plan for us. We may have different paths and different routes to getting there, but that is the plan for every one of us. No one is excluded from it. So the fourth level, God says subdue the earth, subdue it. You know, that brings a connotation of keep it, protect it. When God created the earth, he gave the garden to Adam, and he said to Adam, keep it. Keep it does not only mean cultivate it, it also means protect it. If I give somebody a gift of cell phone or car and say, keep it, that means keep it. Don't let anyone take it away from you. Don't let anyone take it away from you. But then, look, thinking about that process of keeping it, you can tell that there's an underlining there that there could be opposition. The reason I need to protect something is because someone can come to steal it. So it says keep it so that you can overcome. Subdue means subjugate, put it under, let it submit to you. And we all have things that need to submit. If we're going to be fulfilled, we're going to get to that place of dominion. There are things in your life, there are things in my life, there are things in the life of this ministry that must submit. God wants things to bow to you. There are things that ought to bow to you. So God's saying that everything that ought to bow to you should bow to you. Because at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee must bow. Every knee must bow. You might say, oh, I'm just a sinner. God's plan for you is that things bow. So if you are fighting or battling headache or pain or any kind of sickness, God wants it to bow to you. That's one thing that should bow to you. Whatever you're going through, whatever struggle, whatever battle you are in, it might be financial condition, it might be emotional condition. It could be depression, it could be fear, it could be anything you are struggling with that is in the way of you climbing up to fulfillment must bow, should bow to you. So everything that is resisting you, God wants you to stand up and stand firm and overcome, because you have been destined by God to overcome. You are destined to win. You are destined to reign. Hallelujah. So he knows there will be battle. He knows that there will be battle of someone coming to steal your blessings. Someone coming to steal the promises that God has for you. Someone coming to contend with you. And he says, you are already blessed to subdue. That is the reason he said, be strong and courageous. Because you are destined to overcome. That is the reason he said, resist the devil, run away from you. That is the reason he said, I have given you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and all the powers of the enemies, and nothing shall by enemies hurt you. That is the reason he said, having done all, stand and stand firm. This church ought to be standing. We ought to stand firm and strong. You are all to stand firm and strong in the midst of the opposition against our new campus. We all need to come together, link our heart together and our hand together and stand firm, not to be subdued, but to subdue, not to be overcome, but to overcome, not to be conquered, but to conquer. And keep what God has given us and not concede what God has given us to the hand of opposition, but to cede it to the kingdom of God, but to transfer it and join it is a very brief message. And I want to say to you, this is the message for you for this moment. Let us stand. Let us resist the enemy. Let us stand firm in our faith. Let us stand firm in prayer and in praise and give glory to God. As we go into these 21 days of breakthrough, it's a time for us to stand firm. Stand firm together. Connect with one another. Pray fervently, passionately. Praise Him like never before and win the victory that He has already given us. Amen.